You're listening to 66.6 FM. Radio TOVH. The Flush.
Greetings, friends. You're listening to the Toilet of Hell radio show. I'm Joe Thrashenkill. With me, my co-host, 365 Days of Horror, and a very special guest with us right now, coming to you live, recorded, from my kitchen, Leif Berrickson. How's it going, Leif?
Hello.
This is a momentous occasion. The only other person that is recorded next to me, kitchen style, is W. So, you know, you're in a pretty exalted position right now.
Just all of the other Texans that write for us.
Yeah, but W won't be a Texan for much longer, so we need to get Boss the Ross and
one of the other 40 people that live in Texas.
Yeah. The podcast is now a third more handsomer with you on it.
Oh, thank you.
And now I'm the third most athletic person, in shape person on the podcast as well. So thank you.
We really need to get Randall Thor back on to put the rankings right. You burnt Randall. He's not going to listen to this episode.
No.
Leif came down to visit me for a very special occasion. Last night we went to see Power Trip and Iron Age.
Ooh.
At the Mohawk. And while we were there, Leif and I figured out that we had both been at the same Dillinger Escape Plan show at the Mohawk, I think 3 years prior. The thing about this venue is that it has a balcony that wraps around it, and the first time I had seen it happen was at Dillinger Escape Plan. Greg climbed on top of the balcony and then crowd surfed below. It must be 20 feet high.
It was easily the coolest thing I had ever seen at the time. Like, I was just like, is he really gonna jump?
But he did it, and I guess a lot of folks in attendance at the Power Trip show last night had a similar idea. There must have been a dozen stage dives off of the balcony, including dudes who were, you know, upwards of 250 pounds. It was one of the most violent spectacles I've ever seen. We got there right as Power Trip got on stage. And looking down from the balcony, just saw a giant pit, people going completely wild. And Leif and I look at each other, and Leif is like, yeah, I'm going to go into that.
We went on diverging paths. He was like, that looks violent, and I'm going to be a responsible adult and just stay away from that. And I was like, I want to get punched in the face, so I'm going to go ahead and get down in there.
This is a beyond sold-out show in a venue that was well over capacity. So it was difficult to get away from anything. Our friend, Toilet of Hell reader, Evan, was at the show as well. Evan's a big dude. He's well outsizes you and I together, I think.
He was very easy to spot in the pit.
Yeah, he was holding it down, though.
Joe told me he was a very large person in a battle jacket, and I spotted him immediately.
Well, he was holding it down right until the last song, anyway, when he got crowd-killed, caught some kind of appendage to the eye, and then his eye immediately swelled up like a grapefruit.
He's okay, right?
Yeah, he's okay. Fortunately, there's an emergency room like 100 yards away from that venue, so he went and they took a look. They said he was going to be fine. It just looked super gnarly. There were people, you know, at the bar taking pictures of him, like, after the show.
His face is going to end up on a Power Trip shirt in a couple weeks.
I mean, that would actually be super gnarly. I'm sure that he would appreciate that.
I was super impressed. It was my first time meeting him. And even with his eye all swollen shut, can't see anything, he's just got a chunk of ice to it. He was the nicest dude. He's like, oh, you must be Leif. It's so nice to meet you. You know, I'm sorry it's only going to be brief because I've got to go to the ER because my eye's falling out of my head.
Yeah, he picked us up a couple of Iron Age shirts before the show since we got there late. And he called me at the end of the set. He's like, hey, can you come meet me? I've got to go to the ER, but I don't want to let you miss these t-shirts.
We have the nicest readers.
We really do. So, yeah, I think that was a good experience.
Not for Evan.
Yeah, this is bad. Also, Iron Age was pretty disappointing. It looked like they were out of practice, something fierce. But it's okay.
It's kind of phoned it in.
This is an outdoor venue that has strict rules that all the music outside has to be done by midnight. But as soon as that ended, Bitter End played a last-minute show inside, which was absolutely impossible to get anywhere near the stage. It was too many... there was a fire hazard or two going on.
Absolutely.
Good experience, good experience. We ate a hamburger. It was good.
Did you eat it from each end?
Lady and the Tramp?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we watched some dogs play. Like, you know, it was a pretty good experience, I would say.
That's a good first Tinder date. I think that went well.
What's going on your end in the bitterly cold Northeast?
It's actually tolerable this weekend. It was pretty bad the past week. It was still like very much feeling like winter, but right now it's like in the 40s and raining, and I'll take it at this point. I like winter. I don't mind the snow or like ice as long as I don't have to drive in it, but I had enough. Like we've had worse winters. There was a couple of like 10-inch snows here and there, and nothing will beat a few years ago where we got legitimately like 2.5-3 feet of snow over the winter. So that's my basis of comparison. So it wasn't that bad, and here's hoping for spring to actually happen.
I've been wearing shorts, nothing but shorts, for the last 2 months, so maybe you should consider coming to Texas.
I don't remember the last time we had winter.
Yeah.
I was lamenting the fact that I just bought a bunch of horrible-looking Bloody Incantation long sleeves that I will never get the opportunity to wear because Texas is just like, it's going to be like 80 for winter, so you can deal with that.
Yeah, well, you're more than welcome to come up here and help me shovel one day.
You know, I just might take you. That sounds like a great opportunity.
It's fun, I swear. Your back will feel great. You won't die of a heart attack. You won't have to do it all over again when a plow comes by and shovels the rest of the snow right in front of your car. It's wonderful.
After we're done with that, can I whitewash your picket fence?
Sure, I'll give you a mess of scones or biscuits as payment.
So, looking at the metal news of the week, some things happened. None of them of any consequence whatsoever, but they happen anyway, and I figure that, you know, since we do this every week, we should talk about them anyway.
Interestingly enough, the biggest metal news is coming from the punk world, and that means that the Warped Tour lineup was announced.
Hell yeah, I hope that I get to meet all of my favorite YouTube stars of the day.
Legit, sixth grade me just got so excited.
Just strap on your Converse and head on out with your tightest bed religion shirt and you're good to go.
I own both of those things.
Yeah, I haven't been to Warped Tour since high school because that is the appropriate age for going to Warped Tour.
Yeah.
How about you guys?
So, I think I went sometime in college because I was able to sneak in for free and got to see a couple of bands I wanted to see, but it's been a while as well. I have the fear that if I actually go to Warped Tour now, a security guard will come up to me and escort me to where all the other parents are and force me to go to reverse daycare, and I'll just have to sit in the tent and read Time magazine and, you know, watch Downton Abbey while all the kids are having fun.
I mean, I just cut down my beard to just a mustache, showing up as a 30-year-old man to Warped Tour with a mustache.
Oh, boy.
Asking to be put on a list.
So you girls here to see Avenged Sevenfold 2?
Actually, when I was in high school, I had no idea who they were. I saw Avenged Sevenfold play at Warped, and I wasn't really into the music, but I will say that they had some sweet dual guitar widdly-widdlies.
Say, I got dragged to Warped Tour in high school, and this is a throwback name, but I was forced to see Broken Side.
I am super jealous right now.
Their wonderful song, Bree Bree.
Yes, and Freaks. was it crunk and core to your expectations?
Oh, absolutely. More so than I was expecting.
Good.
I hope that comes up in every like future job interview you have, like what skills you possess. Like, well, I sat through Broken Side at Warped Tour, so I'll take my job now. Thank you.
So why are we talking about... That's right. Warped Tour has a new announcement for the bands that are going to be playing this year, and it's a little unexpected, especially if you've looked at the lineup the last couple of years, in which they've erred more on the side of... featuring EDM artists and
pop. Like
dudes named Chad that have a YouTube channel.
Yeah, they like actually had like a YouTube stage or a tent at some point, which is super weird.
Yeah, but like the kids like to watch people talk into their laptop cameras. I don't know what the kids like, but kids can go to hell.
But yeah,
that's the mustache talking.
But Warped Tour might be worth your time this year if it comes to your area because of a few surprise announcements. Number one, Municipal Waste is going to be playing at Warped, which is outstanding. I can't think of a better band to turn the kids onto. I mean, their stage show is fun. The songs are all about drinking, which is a great message for underage kids.
Yeah. Imagine seeing that at 2:30 in the afternoon.
Just, yeah,
in a Municipal Waste show, people grabbing the boogie board and crowd surfing, and hearing Municipal Waste is gonna fuck you up. I think it's gonna be a good time.
That is going to be the best parking lot in your neighborhood. Alestorm is going to be playing as well.
They're really hitting it hard with the beer bans for a bunch of kids that are like 16.
Start them while they're young.
Yeah. And I've long believed that rock and roll is just a subsidiary of alcohol companies.
Anheuser-Busch.
Yeah. who else can you expect to see this year at Warped Tour?
Gwar is playing Warped Tour.
That is fantastic.
A few years ago, when the Sounds of the Underground tour existed, they played that. So playing outside at like noon is not that weird for them.
Wait, what is the Sons of the Underground tour?
Sounds of the Underground.
Sounds of the Underground. Yeah, I'm still not.
It was kind of like the answer to Ozfest when it was winding down. It went for like 3 or 4 years, and like Opeth played 1 year, Clutch, Every Time I Die. Use Google. You have Google. It was a thing.
Do you remember the Tattoo the Earth tour?
Of course I do. And the Family Values tour as well.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was a winner.
Those are all due for a comeback. Anyway,
yeah.
So in addition to seeing like Chadwick Jaden, YouTube star, at Warped Tour this year, I mean, like, you've got options. Do you think that?
Yeah,
you,
I mean, there's some more bands too. I mean, like, Sick of It All is playing this year. Candiria is playing. Hatebreed, Valiant Thor, The Acacia Strain, Carnifex, Stick to Your Guns, CKY, After the Burial, Strung Out. Like, a whole bunch of, like, legit metal and hardcore bands are playing.
CKY is still a band?
Really?
I think they got a new vocalist. And really, what else are they going to do?
Just play 96 Quiet Bitter Beings for the rest of time.
It's the only CKY song anyone's ever heard.
Yep.
Yeah.
Thanks, Tony Hawk.
Yeah, Goldfinger, wow.
I'm in.
Yeah, I think I was sold on the Goldfinger, and then the Hawthorne Heights just nailed it completely. I'll be there. Hatebreed, this is the best tour. So I don't know. Meet me in a parking lot nearby, and we'll go check out the Warped Tour.
Did I just see a band called Playboy Man Baby?
I hope so. Playboy Man Baby. Yeah. Look at this dipshit, Sammy Adams. His mouth just wide open like a total mouth breather.
Are we taking a picture?
What do you think Stacked Like Pancakes sounds like?
I think I've heard them before. I'm pretty sure they're hot garbage.
Okay, get the hell out of here. TSOL, True Sons of Liberty, is going to be playing. Yep. They haven't been cool since 1984.
The Dickies are also playing. We're getting some bands that have been around for like 20, 30 years.
This is absolutely amazing. We gotta go.
I wanna go just so I can meet the Franz.
Oh, Attila. Oh. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Amir's playing too.
Yeah, it'd be nice to finally put a face to the guy that emails me angrily every time that we write something mean about Amir.
A face to the positive STD test.
So this is amazing. I'm sold. We gotta go. I'll see if we can get his press passes.
Yes.
So that way we don't have to be in with the riffraff.
The unwashed masses.
The teenage hoi polloi.
I wish Riff Raff was playing, though.
Me too. That would be great. He's almost certainly done this tour before.
Oh, positively.
There is another big tour announcement if you're, like, you know, the opposite age of the Warped Tour announcement and you're nearing death. why don't you tell us a little bit about that, 365?
The Scorpions are going on a U.S. tour with Megadeth. And they're playing Madison Square Garden. And I pose this question to our readers. How are sales going to be for the show at the world's most famous arena? Like, do people expect it to be well attended, even sold out? And the response from people is pretty much, yes, of course, it's going to be full of people. And I just don't see it. I just don't see Scorpions fans, for the most part, who are of the older variety, I would assume late 30s, 40s, 50s, going out on a weekday night, spending, you know, $75 for a ticket to see the Scorpions. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't know.
There are a lot of 50-something-year-old creepy uncles throughout the United States that will probably show up to this. You know, it's dudes that have been wearing the same denim jacket since 1980, and they want to just rock out, man. You don't know anything about this rock. You're listening to this new music, but it's all about Scorpions, man. So they'll be there. Now, if the same tour, like, came to Brazil, it would sell out soccer stadiums. Yeah. But are there enough, you know, weird Hesher uncles in the United States to fill up Madison Square Garden? I that remains to be seen.
And the thing is, Megadeth tours all the time, so it's not like they're going to be drawing in, you know, a substantial amount of people as well. People can just wait and see Megadeth headline a show for $35 at a smaller venue anyway.
Yeah. I saw Megadeth open up for Iron Maiden a few years ago, and it was pretty drearily attended, at least for Megadeth.
This is a tour I would have been stoked about in 86, when I was -3.
Yeah, I was over it by 86 when I was -1. You know, back by that time I was really into, you know, death.
Start listening to the screamy stuff you can't understand.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know, are you gonna go, man?
No. I don't feel like I assume it's gonna be really expensive, and I probably know maybe 4 Scorpion songs. And I have zero desire to see Megadeth again, so I will not be attending. But the people who do, have fun.
Jordan just doesn't want to get rocked like a hurricane.
I guess not.
I just want to hear Winds of Change. They could play that for an hour, and I'd be super psyched.
You guys keep talking. I'm going to pull this cat out of my sink.
What a weird metaphor.
Yeah. I wonder what he's talking about.
Get out.
It's been a while since we've had a cat interrupt our show. I think people have come to expect at least one animal interrupting what we do, so, you know, that's a guest appearance by a cat, so it worked out.
I think it's to be expected. When you have animals, they're just there to cause chaos.
All right, what else happened this week that we need to talk about?
Ghost revealed their new members, and oh my god, I don't care.
Yes, new Nameless Ghouls.
Woo!
What does it say about your band where you recognize that it doesn't matter who's in it? Like, why should we care?
I don't know. It seems like efficiency to me, like, you know, the invention of interchangeable parts.
Why not just set up a laptop and hit play, and then Papa Emeritus can just warble on for his scary songs for a half hour? Why bother with live members?
I mean, you say that, but I have definitely seen Andrew WK play a show where he just press play and partied over it. It was still pretty good.
Yeah, why bother paying other people? You just hit the laptop play and you're good to go, and you could still be all scary looking with your makeup and pointy hat.
My favorite thing is that they're not going to talk this up at all. Ghost has, like, a new actual key integral member. But they will hype up their same vocalist coming back as Papa Emeritus IV or whatever. Yeah. Like, who could this new vocalist be?
He's like Malibu Stacy. He has a new hat. I have to see them now.
I respect the hustle. By that same token, I don't care about any of this. We all read the blogs. We're all hip to what's going on, and you know, you can count on a weekly press release from Ghost, some kind of attention-seeking behavior that you need to know. I mean, they might have hired the best Blue Oyster Cult cover band in all of Poughkeepsie to do this new record, and you know, that's cool information and all, but none of us really need to know it.
Nope. Maybe they'll be on Warped Tour next year.
Even that still seems like a stretch to try to sell the kids.
You never know.
This is dad music.
What, kids don't want to buy the official Papa Emeritus dildo that they were selling?
Oh, that's right. It came with a butt plug, too.
Equal opportunity genital stuff with Ghost.
I'm still looking at the lineup of Warped Tour, and it just kind of blows my mind. I'm looking at a band of two evil mimes and a sexy Harley Quinn cosplayer.
Oh, New Year's Day.
Holy shit.
That is freaky.
Yeah, because you said the Harley Quinn thing, and she has literally one side of her hair is red and the other side is black.
All right, let's see if I can describe this and you can figure it out. The Arcade Fire, but goth.
Comba Christ.
That's a pretty good guess. Sarah and the Safe Word is what I was thinking about.
Nice, good name.
This is all amazing. I have to go. We have to. Let's get our tickets right now, you guys.
I'm in. I will make the trip for that.
Toilet of Hell meetup at a Warped Tour near you. How does that sound?
That sounds good. Let's do it.
We actually have a guest, a special guest that's not Leif Berrickson, joining us shortly. I figure we probably should mention that. You know, that is what people are here for, not the Warped Tour talk. Larissa of Venom Prison came through and talked to us about D's Nuts, number one, which was amazing. Touring with Suicide Silence, force-feeding a rapist's genitals back to him, Brexit. What else did we talk about?
Misogyny, coming to the U.S. at some point. It's a good interview. She had a lot to say, which is great. And I think this is one of those bands where our listeners and our readers may not know them right away, but I think they'll really like them. I think they kind of hit on sort of a thrashy death metal version of, like, Fuck the Facts is what I get when I listen to them. And maybe a little bit of that Power Trip-esque intensity as well.
Yeah, there's definitely a hardcore vibe to it, but also a brutal death metal vibe too. So this is something that can meet, like, the long hair crowd as well as, like, the flat brim crowd, I think.
Definitely.
So let's go ahead and we'll play a track from their latest record and get right into it.
We'll be right back.
We are joined today by Larissa of UK-based death metal band Venom Prison. How are you doing today, Larissa?
I'm doing good. Just came back from a tour with Suicide Silence and These Nuts.
That is incredible. Number one, the combination of the bands on that tour. And
it was like, because when it was announced that These Nuts were joining the tour, I was like, oh my god, this is so random. Like, all the three bands together is just so random, but it was really cool.
I saw These Nuts once. It was actually a great show. I bought one of their shirts and then got home and realized I would never wear it anywhere.
Yeah, that's why I didn't get one as well.
It might be more fun if you were to wear it. It's slightly more ironic, I guess.
That's true. but the guys were really good live. They were like, they're really groovy, and I really enjoyed watching them every day.
So I got to ask you, that's incredible, number one, because These Nuts is a hilarious band, but number two, because Suicide Silence has to be one of the biggest bands in modern metal. How did that tour come about?
I know they were supposed to be touring with Caliban from Germany, and the tour was supposed to be last year in November, and it was cancelled, and so they rescheduled for March, and we were just asked if we were free, and we were, luckily.
That is very fortuitous. How did the crowd react to that bill? How do you think that they dug you guys as well as the other bands on the tour?
I think everyone pretty much liked it. I know maybe These Nuts is not everyone's favorite, but I think if you just watch them live, you just open up to them. And we were opening the bill, and I think we got a really good reaction on that tour.
That's awesome. It's not really, I guess, similar, because Venom Prison is very much a death metal band, but you yourself used to be, I guess, closer to the hardcore scene with your previous band, Wolfdown. Did you feel the urge to maybe get in the pit, do some spin kicks?
I kind of was, but sometimes I feel I'm just too old for that at the moment. I'm 27 now, and I feel so old.
Yeah, I knew it was time to stop when I got winded after the first song moshing, so I definitely understand how that feels.
I'm pushing 30 and fully planning on moshing tonight. That's it's a big deal for me.
Are you going to go to a show tonight?
Yeah. Power Trip and Iron Age are playing, and I'm just beyond stoked.
Oh, that's amazing. Power Trip, a great life.
They really are. I got to ask you, you left Wolfdown a couple of years ago, and did you start Venom Prison immediately afterwards?
It wasn't immediately, because when I left Wolfdown and went to uni, I kind of wanted to just let go of all the music stuff. But like after 2 months or so, I was just really bored, and that's when we started writing some Venom Prison songs with Ash, who plays guitar, and it was just the two of us first. And when we've written, I think, 5 songs, we just ask other people to join us so we can be a band.
Was it That's difficult awesome. To make the transition from hardcore into death metal?
It wasn't difficult. It was just really different, because if you listen to our demo, it's still like very hardcore, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. And I think we just developed from there, because we all love metal and we all love hardcore as well. So you can hear, like, even in our new stuff, hardcore is still a big influence. And we just kind of wanted to combine the things we love.
Right on. That demo that you're referring to, which one is that? Is that Defy the Tyrant?
Yeah, that's the one.
That's awesome. I was actually listening to that just this morning, and I noticed that on the second track, that Life Suffer, you've got a sample of In Heaven, most famously the Woman in the Radiator scene from Eraserhead. Are you a big David Lynch fan?
I like his movies, but Ash was the one who picked that one exactly because he loves all the old fucked up films.
He's extremely fucked up, yes.
Funnily enough, because I'm still in uni and sometimes they show movies, and Eraserhead was one of them they showed in like my uni, which I thought was a bit weird but really cool as well.
What are you studying?
I'm doing graphic communication.
Right on. Speaking of which, your newest record, Animus, the album cover of that is fucking awesome. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Oh yeah, sure. When we recorded the album, we wanted to have a strong image to go with it, and so we asked Eliran Cantor, I don't really know if I pronounce his name right, because he's from Israel but lives in Germany, and I'm so bad with names. And he's one of my favorite artists. He's done artworks for Testament. He's done the latest Hatebreed, I believe, as well, and Incantation. And I love all of his stuff. So I messaged him if he was available, and told him, like, I've sent him all the lyrics and everything that he wanted to know, and he was inspired by that one song, which is Perpetrator Emasculation, and he came up with the concept for the artwork, and when he sent it back to us, I was in love with it because I thought it completely agrees with what the record is about.
That is awesome. For listeners that can't see the album cover, this is a very well done painting of women force feeding the genitals of a rapist back to him. It's extremely rad. So that's from the inspired by the song. You said Perpetrator Emasculation. What did you want to communicate through that song and through this record overall?
For that song especially, I just personally know so many people, female or male, that have experienced rape. And I personally have experienced like things like that in the past as well. And I just wanted to give a massive fuck you to every rapist and creepy person. And just take back the power and just not being victimized.
That's rad. It's it certainly seems like it's endemic that the institutions all throughout the world are willing to just completely disregard any instance of sexual abuse victims. And why do you think that is?
I don't know. I think it's just a topic that people don't really like to talk about because it's so private and it's so destructive, and it's weird to talk about if you like think about it. Like, no one really wants to really, like, I don't know. Do you want to really know how things like that happen? Because it's a really horrible thing, and I think we just need to learn to understand that things like that happen every day to so many people, and that we just, if we talk about it, that things like that can change and maybe stop, and like rape culture is a real thing.
It certainly is. And you, I mean, you kind of exist, your band exists within a culture of death metal that is certainly not shy about indulging in, you know, horrific instances of misogyny and sexual violence in lyrics. How do you feel that your music it stands in contrast to that?
Because I'm female and I experience all the hate and violence against women, especially in metal, like firsthand, basically, I think I kind of have to give something back and say, you can't just do that, because I don't want to be victimized and just hated just for who I am. Because when we first released the song, and I think Metal Hammer posted it on their Facebook, people were just posting and giving us shit and calling us like Tumblr feminists and stuff like that. And you can see that this is purely because there is a female involved in something that turns things around, because on that record we basically turned the tables. And this is something people don't really like to see, because it's okay if a guy sings about raping a woman, but it's for some reason not okay if a woman sings about castrating a rapist. And I think this is something we really need at the moment, just to progress and to emancipate metal music.
It seems like you're certainly touching a nerve, just judging by the reactions that you're getting out of some of these, I guess, more knuckle-dragger types. In getting them to confront this within their own scene, do you feel like this is a stepping stone to maybe righting some wrongs that have existed within the culture for a long while?
Oh, yeah, I would definitely agree on that. And, like, women are a really big part of metal music, like, as fans, as people who act in labels, who put on shows. And we just need to accept women in metal just like we accept men in metal, and just be open-minded about everything.
I guess to shift the conversation slightly, you just finished up this great tour in the UK. Have you ever been to the US? Do you have any upcoming plans to tour the US?
I've never been to America, but we would love to go, and we might be coming over this year in autumn, maybe like September, October time.
Any places you're specifically looking to visit if you come over here?
Oh, God. There's just so much to see and so many great places to play. I would just like basically to do an all-over tour. But I think we would only do 3 weeks, which isn't enough to cover all of America.
I was just talking to 365 before our call about how long it takes just to drive across Texas. It's a full day at least.
Well, that's just mental.
There's a whole lot of nothing along the way. I feel like, unfortunately, this is a strange time to try to travel to the U.S. or vice versa, actually. I don't think anybody saw our current immigration debacle coming, and it seems like the U.K. has giant problems of its own with Brexit. What is your take on, I guess, what you see in your country is the shutting down of the borders to anyone that wants to come in?
It's a little bit depressing, because I myself, I'm from Germany. I've only been living in the UK for 2 years, and I just don't know what's going to happen. Like, do I have to move away as well? Do I have to go back to Germany or the European Union? And it's just, no one really knows what's going on. And I feel like it's a big mistake.
I think we have similar sentiments about our own country.
Yeah. There's a lot going on in America at the moment as well.
There is. I don't understand the current rise of, I don't know if you want to call it nationalism or what I would probably call fascism across what seems like the world right now. I don't. Do you have any thoughts on it? How do you think that things got this way?
I agree with you that there is a big rise of fascism or right-wing politics all over the world at the moment. I think people are just desperate, because everything's like going to shit and you just need to blame someone. And refugees and immigrants are usually a good scapegoat for people, like we've seen in the past. I think people just don't know what to do and they just go for the easy answers, like for the parties that give you the easy answers to difficult problems. And I feel like we just, there's just so much education that needs to happen, but it's just not happening. Do you know what I mean?
I do. Do you see, I don't know, any kind of possible light at the end of the tunnel? If so, what do you think it might be?
I don't really know. I don't know. I don't really see any positive things coming from that at the moment. Maybe if something just turns around and people realize what big things they've done and what kind of big mistakes happened because they voted for someone who is an absolute dickhead, and maybe then vote for someone else next time.
I think at least for where I am in the northeast of the United States, it's been encouraging. There's been a lot more of a vocal resistance. I think a lot more people are politically interested and activated now that things have turned out the way they have. And just yesterday in this country, the Trump care, they're trying to repeal Obamacare was, you know, didn't even get to a vote because so many people were vocal about it. So I think if there's any sort of light at the end of the tunnel, I mean, there's still people that care.
I think there's a lot of people that care at the moment because they see that things are changing for the worse. And that's why, especially in America, so many people just go out on the streets and protest, which is a really good thing, in my opinion, because you kind of need to get out there and raise your voice and stand up for yourself.
As you said, you immigrated from Germany to England, and there the current fear, I guess, of immigration in general definitely holds a place in German history. Do you think that there's any way that, I don't know, we can, it seems rather obvious, but learn from recent history about maybe demonizing somebody that's a different faith or a different color?
I definitely think a lot of people have learned from the history, but on the other side, there's just the people that are scared of the changes and just don't get other cultures at all. It feels like they will never understand, but like especially in Germany at the moment as well, there's so many people that are welcoming refugees and just do so much for those people and get a lot of respect from them back and a lot of love from the people they help back. But on the other side, you get a lot of people that just don't want refugees in Germany and just set settlements on fire, for example, and go and protest against having those people in Germany. And it feels like there's like a big fight coming along at the moment, and I just really don't know how things are going to progress and how they're going to change.
Well, I guess it starts with education, but we all need to make an effort that way.
Yeah, definitely. Like, people always think that a revolution is held by weapons, but that's bullshit. All you need is education.
I agree with that. I guess to switch the topic slightly, I was listening to your latest record, and I'm just kind of blown away by how brutal your vocals are. Who were the people that you were trying to emulate at first when you were learning to do this?
I don't really have anyone that I tried to sound like, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. When I started just playing in bands, I think that was about like 10 years ago when I was 17, I joined a crust punk band. And ever since I was listening to music, I just wanted to be part of a band and just just give music something back to, because I just really loved music. And I couldn't play guitar, I couldn't play bass, all I could do is sing. So I joined that band, and ever since I just did my thing, and I guess I just progressed with time, because I, like, at the moment my vocal range is a lot different than it was 10 years ago, and it's a lot different to what I did in Wolfdown as well.
Yeah, that's really noticeable, but in a good way. I mean, like, your voice very much suits this music.
Thank
what
you.
What are you, what are your big plans? I mean, you just put out a record late last year. You're killing it touring with big bands. Are you busy with school right now, or are you still working on new music?
A little bit of both. Since we released Animus, we just didn't stop, because we went on tour with Trapdom on the day it was released. The tour was amazing. Occultocracy from Norway were touring with us, and I just fell in love with that band. We played some festivals. We have a lot of festivals booked this summer, and some tours as well coming up, which I can't really tell who with. And we're writing new material at the moment as well, because we would like to release something as soon as possible. And we also, like, some of us have full-time jobs, some of us go to uni, and I'm absolutely stressed with assignments at the moment. And it didn't help that I just went away for a week and just didn't do anything. So next week I have 4 days to finish an assignment, and I just gotta go for it.
You could always have your professors contact us, and we could write a note for you to try to get an extension on your assignments.
I will let them know. I'll give them your email address.
You're probably the envy of, like, every college student listening to this right now. They're like, crap, I just played Xbox on my summer vacation. I didn't go tour huge festivals, play with Suicide Silence. Yeah, it's... it sounds like you're doing pretty cool things with your life.
Yeah, I really enjoy it. And without the stress, it's just not as fun anymore, I guess.
So as we've been talking with you, I keep looking at my phone because some creepy weirdo is messaging the Toilet of Hell Facebook page with cryptic, mean messages. And we're, you know, white dudes. Do you get this? Do you get hateful messages to your page as well?
Actually, there's never really been hateful messages, like, directly to our Facebook or Twitter or whatever. The only thing I could ever read was on other platforms like Metal Hammer or just someone else's Twitter, but people never told me into my face what they say on the internet.
That is, I guess, not surprising. The internet troll is loud and lacking in testicular fortitude.
Yeah. You can even see it on, like, if you look at Suicide Silence's Facebook at the moment, you can see, like, how much hate they're getting, but I haven't seen anyone on that tour coming up to them and saying that into their face.
I have to imagine the kind of person that's just, you know, liable or likely to talk a whole lot of shit on that band is also not going to pay, you know, money to go see them on tour. It's two entirely separate classes of people. Folks that are just mad online and folks that want to go see their favorite band.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I think a lot of those people just, like, don't even go to shows.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right there. Thinking about some of the internet dorks I've known in my life, they don't really leave the house.
I wonder why.
I don't know. Maybe something about loneliness leads to, like, frustration and anger.
That sounds about right.
Also, you're less likely to get punched in the face if you're just talking to somebody across Facebook as opposed to real life.
Never underestimate someone driving hours to punch someone in the face because they said something online.
Okay. It sounds like it would be the worst punch you could ever experience.
I do recall now, there was some guy, it was on Christmas a couple of years ago, these two guys were arguing about a basketball player on Twitter. On Christmas Day, one guy drove, I think it was 6 hours, to meet the other guy in a parking lot to fight him.
That should be a TV show. That sounds amazing.
I would watch the hell out.
That's amazing. It could work a bit like Catfish, the TV show.
Oh, To Catch a Troll.
Yeah.
I think that's a dynamite idea. If the band doesn't work out, you need to start pitching this to networks.
I'll get in touch with MTV pretty soon, I think.
Is there anything you miss from the hardcore scene that you don't really see in the metal scene anymore?
I think it would be the mosh. Because if hardcore kids are excited about a mosh part, they just don't give a fuck and destroy everything. And that's something you don't see in metal that much. But I have to admit, I also enjoy just playing a show to people who stand around and just bang their head.
Which smells worse, in your opinion, the punk scene or the metal scene?
The punk scene, even though not anymore, because all the punks are using like all those smelly Lush products, so they smell really nice.
Times have changed.
Yeah.
See, if the punk scene can do better, the average man can as well. It's we can get better haircuts, smell nicer, and be nicer to people on the internet.
Yeah, that sounds like a nice world.
Anything else that you want our knuckleheads to learn?
I really want to say that the new Suicide Silence songs sound pretty heavy life. Just go and check them out when they're on tour.
There you go, folks. Thanks so much for talking with us today.
Thank you, guys. I really enjoyed talking to you as well.
Thanks so much to Larissa from Venom Prison for coming and talking to us. Be sure to stay up to date with those guys on Facebook, and don't forget to stay up to date with us on Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn and MySpace and Adult Friend Finder.
And Zanga. Don't forget your Zanga.
Zanga. It's all Toiled of Hell. You know, that's what we are, man. You can also follow me at Joe Thrash and Kill on Twitter if you want to just see me abuse various members of our government. And follow at 365 Days of Horror if you want to see 365 throw out his bon mots. Leaf, why don't you take us out?
Thanks for listening. You put me on the spot.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next week.
You're listening to 66.6 FM. Radio TOVH. The Flush.
Thanks so much for...
Take two.
Just leave it at that. Thanks so much for...
Thanks so
much.
We
should start doing that for some of our shows. Like, put our little fuck-ups at, like, the very end to, like, reward people who listen all the way through.
Nobody's making it all the way through.
Well, maybe they might, just to hear...